Welcome back, guys, to episode 6. We hope you guys have had a great week, and we have a killer episode for today. Our verse of the week is Isaiah 57, 1 through 2. Good people pass away, the godly often die before their time, but no one seems to care or wonder why. No one seems to understand that God is protecting them from the evil to come, for those who follow godly paths will rest in peace when they die.
That was a banger.
That was a good verse.
I want to obviously introduce our regular cast, me, Ridge, and Noah.
Yo.
Who's me?
Brady.
Brady.
Layland. Come on, man.
We all know who you are, dude.
We love you, Brady.
Oh, but, I mean, this is kind of your episode today, Brady. You're going to take the lead on this one.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
So, obviously, we've talked a lot about, you know, people who have inspired us a lot and people who, you know, are late of us, obviously, with Josiah and stuff like that. I also did just lose my grandmother 2 days ago, so rest in peace, Josephine. She lived a great and fruitful life. Obviously, in a lot better place now.
Let me say, you know, people say, like, rest in peace a lot. I'm not a fan of rest in peace.
Rest in paradise.
Or... because when you're in heaven, dude, there's nothing peaceful about it. Like, it's rejoicing. It's partying with, like, Jesus, worshiping.
Oh,
it's exciting. It's joy. It's happiness. Like, it's not peaceful. To me, peaceful is, like, quiet, calm, nobody bothering you, nobody, like, talking to you. And I hope that's not what heaven's like. Like, I want to talk to everyone.
I don't blame you. I mean, I want to go in there and see people be like, ah, oh, dude, I saw you on TV one time. Like, that's, like, that'd be super cool.
Like, oh, guys, I listened to your podcast, bro.
Biblical figures that are up there that we get to talk to just about, you know, their life that we read about.
And honestly, like, questions too, like, we have
them. Yeah.
Bro, we gonna get up there and, like, walk up to Moses, and he'd be like, my dude, I've been listening to the R&B show.
Yeah, you're funny.
I get to talk to Noah.
What did Noah do?
Built the ark.
He looks in the mirror and just talks to himself. Hi, Noah. I'm Noah.
Whoa, we have the same
said
name.
The same thing. The same time. We're saying the same thing again.
Dude. Noah talks to Noah every night.
Let's be honest, you just stare yourself in the mirror and talk to yourself a little bit.
Yeah, I gotta build myself up.
Yikes. Anyways, I don't know what you're doing over there, buddy, but we obviously are going to be diving deeper in this conversation, and we have a few subtopics about, you know, how we've coped and how we've been doing. Obviously, we are very close to almost a year for Josiah. So we're going to be having some more conversations about that and really touching up on a lot of things that we either have not really neglected but haven't really talked about yet, and things that we have experienced or, like, that have helped us, you know, these past few months and actually almost a year now.
Yeah.
So
why don't you give us, like, because you just said your grandma Josephine just passed, and I know that's a hard thing to go through, and if I understand, you guys were preparing for a while for it just because of the state she was in. But just give us a little bit of background about your grandma, as much as you want, whatever you have, just so we can get to know Josephine a little bit.
Yeah, Josephine, she had obviously 3 wonderful daughters, one being my mom. 2 others don't live around this area, but they also have been very absent in our lives. But Josephine was very... she was involved as much as she could be in our lives when we were growing up. Recently, through the years, I haven't seen her that much until, you know, last few years when she moved in with us. She was in bed care. She had a nurse came every day to help her, you know, through her daily routines of, you know, getting her up in the morning and, you know, washing her and helping her do, like, you know, basic hygiene things like, you know, toothbrushes, like, you know, brushing her teeth and doing her nails and doing her hair and stuff like that. And, you know, that was, like, my mom's, like, favorite things, you know, like, she was able to wake up in the morning and go see her mom and, like, you know, get her ready for the day. But as I said, she was been bedbound for the last 3 years of her life, which she lived with us. And we met a lot of great people through the process, a lot of people that, you know, have helped us through tremendously and taken a lot of stress off us. Shout out to, like, the whole organization that helped us. It was really helpful. But, you know, the last few weeks, her health started declining, and she, you know, obviously the body isn't meant to live as long as she lived, 95 and a half years. I mean, that's a long time. And, you know, we're thankful that she passed peacefully. And, I think it's a hospice, and, you know, she, you know, passed peacefully. No hurting. And obviously, as you've said before, she's in a fantastic place, and she's seeing people, her brothers and her sisters. And, you know, we're really excited for, like, the next step for her. Obviously, like, normal losses, it's hard not to be selfish in a situation where it's like you wish you could say this or wish you could say that. But we know that she's in a better place, and that obviously we'll be reunited with her one day. Yeah. But, you know, I want to say kudos to my mom. She's been very strong. Same for my dad. My dad's helped my mom a lot, and she's taking a lot better than I thought she would. You know, she's still able to be herself, you know, and she's, like I've done with Josiah, like living life through that person, and, you know, knowing that she's always around regardless of her physical being not being here. So it's really powerful, you know, to my mom still be as strong as she is, because that's like someone who helped make my mom who she is today. And that's why, you know, it hurts obviously for our family, is that my mom is such a great person, and that came from Josephine as, you know, her role model of how to like be a parent, a great, you know, wife, daughter, and obviously my mom. So I wouldn't have my mom today if it wasn't for Josephine and, you know, her parenting skills and all this stuff. So I will always be thankful for Josephine and what she's done for my family.
Yeah. You want to know what's kind of crazy now that like I think about it? Josephine knows Josiah now.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
She's up there, and like Josiah was probably like, "You're Brady's grandma, aren't you?" Like, he's like, "I just know it." Cause I mean, it says in the Bible, and might not be like a perfect quote, but it's like, no face like will go unknown. Like, everyone will know everyone and recognize, like, it's, you'll recognize every single person, which is crazy.
My grandfather even knows Josiah now, since he's up there in heaven as well.
So is Josephine and Josiah, Brady, are those like your only two losses you've really experienced in life now? I mean, you're young, so it's like, you've kind of experienced a lot already.
I had losses when I was younger. And obviously some friends that I wasn't like close with, but like I knew of that past, but like it wasn't like something that like affected me directly. But honestly, I've never grown up with grandpas ever. I've never had a grandpa really. They died when I was young. So I would say my first loss was really my dad's dad. And I was like maybe three. So obviously I don't remember that, but same situation for like Josephine. It was, he had cancer and he wanted to go. So obviously Josiah, he met Josiah first out of everyone for my family wise. So, but no, this is the second loss, obviously, in the last year. So it's just like, it's kind of like weird. Like, you feel you're getting older, you experience older things, which kind of sucks.
Yeah. What about you, Noah? What kind of, since this whole episode really is on dealing with loss, what kind of losses have you gone, besides obviously Josiah? You just mentioned your grandfather.
Yeah, I lost my grandfather, I think 4 months after Josiah passed. He was 102, so he lived a long, long life. He fought in World War II, was a bombardier. He flew, I think, like 31 missions over a couple years. So he was a great grandfather. My dad modeled after him well, and, you know, I couldn't be more thankful for that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's a long
life. I mean, yeah, 102.
That's a long life.
He was like, just to think about, like, from no television, color, like,
he saw everything.
He literally everything.
That's,
like,
yeah.
And I then mean, like phones through the years.
The progression of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I consider for how old I am, 28, the amount of loss that I've experienced is something that I don't want anybody to have to experience. So like in high school, I had a cousin that I was really, really close to. We actually didn't really know each other growing up, but like during high school, our families kind of got like reintroduced to each other, and we became really close. And I remember we lost her. She was 16.
Wow.
When she passed, she had cystic fibrosis, which is a lung disease. Basically, like your lungs are you're constantly drowning. So your lungs are constantly being filled with like fluid and or mucus, and there's not much you can do about it. That was, I don't know. Was that my first? I think that was the first loss I really experienced. But well, actually, when I was like 11 or 12, my mom's best friend, and we call, like, we were so close with their family. Like, it was like Aunt Lynn, Uncle Tim, like their kids were basically like cousins to us. We were always at their house. Like when we homeschooled, we did homeschooling at their house and stuff. she passed of breast cancer in, I want to say, like 2007 or 8. I'm not exactly sure. So that was like my first deal of loss that I ever experienced, but I was also young. I was like 10 years old, 11 years old, so I didn't really understand like what was going on. Like, yeah, everything was sad and everyone was sad around me. And then it was my cousin. And shortly after my cousin passed, my biological grandfather passed, and he had died from, also had cancer. He was a smoker his whole life. And yeah. A drinker, and never really took care of his body, but a really good grandpa. Like, he honestly, like, might not have been, like, I guess I might not have been able to see him as much because he lived in Louisiana, but he was a really good grandpa. Like, gave me my first gun, like, did all the things that, like, a good grandpa yeah. does.
Mm-hmm.
And not to discredit my my mom's stepdad, which really raised my mom and was also our grand, like, we called him Paw and Pawpaw. That's just our, like, Louisiana heritage, that's what we call him. He passed in 2019, around then. Not exactly sure. I mean, so much has just become a blur. And that was a big one. That was, like, my first, like, hard hitter, like, big loss. And I was like, oh man, like, he was like 74 years old, but he died from, I want to say, COPD. So he had basically had lung cancer because he smoked. I mean, he was in Vietnam, so he started
smoking like a chimney.
He started smoking when he was 17, dude. Like, just
wow. Yeah.
And I remember at one point he was like a pack a day, like, but he did quit. Like, mm-hmm. he was able to quit. And the cool thing about those two guys, so my biological grandfather, my dad's biological, or my mom's biological dad, was, like, not in the picture nearly as much. Like, so, like, Pawpaw is the one that passed more recently. He raised my mom basically from, like, 4 on, but her real dad was in the picture still, like, still came and picked her up. She spent time with him, stuff like that. In the traditional story, those two men don't get along.
No.
The first, when Paul, my biological grandfather, went to the hospital, middle of a hurricane in Louisiana, and, like, you know, those hurricanes are bad mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
The first person to show up at the hospital was her, like, my, was Pawpaw, the step grand, like, my mom's stepdad. And I don't even like using that term because I've never heard her refer to him as a stepdad. It's always just been, like, dad yeah. and dad, like.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what it was. And he was the first one to show up there. Like, the relationship those two had is what, if for some reason, which a family should always work out, that should always be one of, like, that's biblical. Divorce is not an option. Like,
yep.
Obviously things can get really bad to a point to where it has to be an option. But if there's a model for how that situation goes, it needs to be that, because he was the first one to show up at the hospital in the middle of the storm when he was passing, holding his hand, and the biological grandfather was like, I mean, he thanked him. He was like, thank you for doing what I couldn't do. Thank you for stepping up, like, when I couldn't step up. So we had that, and then I also lost my great-grandmother, which she was, like, 98 years old. And this woman was, we call Momo Jero, which was her last name. This woman was cutting grass, like, doing yard work till the day she died.
Wow.
Like, so we all have a chance that we're going to live, like, 90s, yeah. late 90s, because it sounds like our families have the capability to live long lives. And then after her, I worked for the power company for probably 6 years, and I got really, really close to one of my foremen, and he had actually broke his ankle, just like I broke my ankle at a trampoline park. And sorry, I just burped, excuse me. And he was, like, gonna be out for a few months because he had to have surgery on it, and then I guess, like, gangrene set in, and he was a veteran, so he had PTSD. And when gangrene set in, they were like, we're going to have to amputate your leg. And the guy was like, well, man, like, I'm never going to be able to work again. Like, I climb poles for a living, basically, like, because that's what you do on the power company. Like, you climb poles, you're always walking, you're always climbing. And that seemed to be the last draw for him when he found out that he was going to have to lose a leg and not really be able to work anymore. So I was actually covering for his crew. We were on a job and we got a call from our general foreman. And he was like, hey, like, are you done with the job or what are you doing? And I was like, no, we're just taking a break right now. And he was like, go ahead and get the crew around. And when the crew came around, he just told us, he was like, I mean, I hate to tell you boys this, but because we're all young. I mean, I'm like 25 at this time. The other guys with me are all in their early or in their 20s, really. And he's like, I mean, I hate to tell you guys this, but Nathan took his life last night. And it's just like, I broke down right there because we had become like over like the 6 months we were together. We were like best friends. Like mm-hmm. we were texting every day, like talking to each other on the weekends, like hanging out when we could, going fishing, doing stuff like that. And then that was like the last loss I'd had until Josiah. And then Josiah passed and it's like, oof, like,
yeah,
it's like, man, like loss after loss after loss after loss. And then like the big one, like, it's like, it's like not a parent. It's not a grandma, a grandpa, someone you're expecting to eventually pass. But it's like, man, like your 18-year-old brother.
Yeah. I
mean, like, right. Why does that happen? Like, that doesn't happen to us. That happens to other people.
Yeah, but the kind of stuff, like, stuff you see in the news, like, oh, that's like really bad that happened. And it's like, oh.
You know, you never expected to happen to, you know, a family close to you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of like the background of my loss. So we've all dealt with a significant amount of loss. And this will cover a variety, like this episode will cover a variety of different types of loss, because a loss is not just like losing someone, like someone passing or someone dying. Like, you could lose your best friend just because maybe you're deciding to live your life a different way than they are. And it's like, they're like, oh, you're not cool, or you're not doing what the worldly view, like what our world is telling us to do as college students, yeah, or as high schoolers, yeah, or as teenagers. So, I mean, loss comes in a lot of different formats, and it's not just...
There's not really a definition for it.
Yeah, it's not the death of someone. It can be just the loss of anyone in your life, and making a big hole or a big gap and trying to find something to fill that void. But we'll get into that further on.
Yeah, obviously, you know, we've all experienced, like, loss, and Reg made a great point. Like, it's not really, like, a way of losing someone physically, but also, like, you know... That this person, I had to move this person in my life because they weren't making me want to live a fruitful and faithful life. More of like, oh, I want you to do this, and I want you to do that. Not really like, what would God want you to do? Okay. So it's like, you know, let's go out and let's go drink. But it's like, would God want me to do that?
No.
And sometimes it's not your loss. Like, you cutting those ties, you might not feel that loss. It's their loss.
Yeah.
But as believers and as followers of Christ, it's our job to not give up on them.
No, never.
Obviously, people will make the like claim, be like, oh, like Jesus ate with sinners and prostitutes. And I was like, yeah, but he was witnessing to them. Like, that's what our job is to do, is to witness to these people and help them make the right choices. Right.
It's not like he was justifying like their actions. It was more of just like, welcome to like my faith. So,
yeah.
Obviously, as we said before, we're coming up on a year with Josiah. And we're dive into coping. And my main thing, and if anything, of how I figured out coping was, you know, the first few days and first week of him passing, like what was like my way of life during those days and week compared to what it is like now. Because I know back then, especially for myself, I felt like, you know, I went to my buddy's house and I stayed there for, I think, a week and a half. I didn't go home because the one time I went home, I got maybe 5 minutes of sleep, and then I couldn't function at all. I go to work and I couldn't function, and it's like my mind was just running in circles of, like, you know, possible scenarios and situations. Mm-hmm. It was like, okay, I could have done this, or I could have said that, or, you know, I could have called him, or, like, you know, anything you can do to remediate a situation that you have no control over. And, you know, compared to like now where it's like, you know, I wake up in the morning and like I know that like it's gonna be a good day and that I'm gonna try and fix something or do something productive, and knowing that, you know, oh, my Josiah will always be like, you know, right behind me or right in front of me or, you know, right next to me, or I'm driving and I know he's in the passenger seat, like I always know he's with me beforehand. Mm-hmm. It was just like, I need him to be here right now. I need to see him right now. But now it's like, I know he is here. And that was something I had of like an issue for a while.
Yeah.
Cause you know, you always and especially for myself, I would sit and I'd just hit my phone and be like, I know I'm gonna get a text any minute or a call any minute, and he's gonna be like, yo, what's going on, like, what are you doing? But like, I needed to figure out the fact that I'm not gonna get that call again, and I'm not gonna get that text again. And that's like one of the hardest things, especially as a teenager. You know, all my boys, like, we call each other or text each other, like, let's go do something. And Josiah being one of my most frequent ones, like, not having that text go through anymore, or, you know, like, a better way of putting the text sent green, it's weird.
But, and, you know, we have that hope and joy that we're going to see him again one day in heaven.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I mean, Noah, how did you deal with, obviously, like, your first few days and, honestly, week compared to now?
Like, you know, the first night... Or like the first week, I spent the night at one of our buddy's house with Brady, and I just remember, like, so vividly the first night. I remember we got like 5 minutes of sleep, and in that 5 minutes, I had a dream that, like, I saw Josiah, like, he was coming on the hallway, and he was like, "Oh, like, what are you doing? Like, let's hang out." And I remember I just, like, in the bed, I just started bawling, but just really. Hanging out with those friends, talking with those friends, really, really helped me cope. And then it came time to go back to school. I went to school in West Palm at the time, and it was just awful. Like, I had no motivation. I wanted to do nothing. I would sit in my room all day. You know, I would call Ridge and talk to him, you know, because I just needed someone to talk to at the time. I didn't want to talk to my roommates or my friends at school because I feel like they wouldn't understand what I was going through.
Yeah, that makes sense.
How about you, Ridge?
Oh, man. So, I mean, I'll take you through a little bit. I mean, I don't know if we really covered it, the day of and all that, when it happened. But I was actually driving. I was at the kid's school picking up Bowden because I picked him up earlier than Brecken because he was only in VPK. And I got a call from Robin. And I answer it just like, I mean, she calls me all the time, Robin being Josiah's mom. And on the phone, like, I can just hear her, like, weeping and screaming, like, you can bring Jesus, you can bring the dead back to life, you can bring the dead back to life. And in my head, like, the first initial thought, and I was like, okay, like, I don't know, I mean, what she's talking about, like, maybe one of the dogs died or something. Like, I had no idea, mm-hmm. like, what I was thinking, because I was like, okay, she's really, like, spiritually connected, and so I was like, Mom, what are you talking about? And she was like, Josiah, he got into an accident, the ambulance are taking him to the hospital now. And I was just like, okay. So, I was like, okay, I'll be there as soon as I can. Hung up the phone, called my mom. Luckily, like, as a blessing, my mom lived 2 minutes from my kid's school.
Yep.
Called my mom. I said, Mom, there's an emergency. I need to drop Bowden off immediately. She was like, okay, like, no questions asked. I got there, and I know I, like, just hugged her, and then I broke down, and she was like, what's going on? And I was like, Robin said Josiah's dead. And she broke down immediately. But obviously, she's going to try and be strong because she's taking Bowden.
Yep.
Then... the worst part about all this is Deanna is at home napping when this happens. So I try calling Deanna, doesn't wake up, on my way to the hospital. Call my mom back, and I was like, hey, you need to go to my house right now. Deanna's going to be sleeping on the couch. Wake her up. Just tell her, like, we got to go into the hospital because Josiah got into an accident. And in my head this whole time, I didn't know details. So I was like, Josiah got into an accident in the driveway, like, at the house. How fast could he possibly be going in his truck for something like this to happen? Because I didn't know any details. And so, like, I'm just driving. I mean, obviously, I'm flying to Apopka from Sanford. Like, absolutely. I'm probably going, like, 110 down I-4. I know my mom was like, be careful, drive slow. So was Robin. And I was like, okay, I will. 110 miles per hour the whole way. Get there. And... when I got there, it was Robin, Tim, and Josh, Josiah's youth pastor,
mm-hmm.
From Journey. And Dad comes up to me, and he was like, he was in an accident on his bike, on his dirt bike. It does not look good. And that's like, that's when it set in. Like, I was like, oh, man. Like, okay. I was like, trying to get some details, but obviously I'm not trying to push because nobody wants to talk about, like, what's going to happen or what can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that's the day of, and I Deanna calls me and she's obviously freaking out. And she's like, is he okay? And I was like, honestly, I don't know anything. Like, I can't tell you mm-hmm. anything. And so she's on her way to the hospital. She finally gets there. And I might cry. One thing that, like, killed me the most that day was when my mom was dropping off Deanna. Brecken and Bowden stuck their heads out the window. They were like, tell Josiah that I love him. I was like, okay, I will. Mm-hmm. And so, as we get, Deanna comes in, and this was a horrible day altogether because Josiah, or Jackson, on a bus ride to the Carolinas for a football game.
Yep.
And he's in Jacksonville at this point. We call the coach, Coach Metz, you guys both know, and they pull over, and Coach Metz's wife actually drives up to Jacksonville, gets Jackson, brings him back. We had gotten brought back by the like hospital like pastor, and they were like, okay, you guys can come with us. Like, we're gonna go back to the room, and we're like, oh, like we're gonna go back to Josiah's room. That means like he just must be really banged up. Like something happened. Like a miracle happened. Like he's gonna be okay. Take a right. The door says consolation room, which Robin just like. First time in a long time, and I mean, it's completely understandable position to say a cuss word. She's just says, shit, I know what this means. And because if you guys don't know, when you get brought into the consolation room, that only means one thing.
Yep.
Like, it's especially by like the chaplain, there's only one reason that's happening. And she had just recently gone through it with her dad, so she knew. Mm-hmm. And so we get Brock back there, and we're like, okay, like, give us some answers, like, tell us what's going on. And they're like, we don't know anything yet. We don't know anything yet. And at that point, I'm like, that's bull crap. Like, you guys know something, obviously. You know if he's going to make it. You know if he's breathing right now. Like, Deanna texts me, says she's there. I walk out to the lobby of the hospital to get her. By the time we got back, it's Tim, Randy Green, which is a pastor at Journey Christian Church, and Robin. And everyone's just crying because the chaplain had broke the news to them. And that's hands down still to this day, like, the hardest day of my life. And we ended up, like, when we left the hospital, we had seen him. And for some reason, like, I hate that it happened to me, but I also feel grateful. Like, I was the one that, like, told multiple people somehow, like... what had happened, like, I had gotten on a phone call. I think Rose had called me for something. And I was in the hospital, like, when it happened. And I was like, hey, I can't really talk right now. We're at the hospital. I don't know if that's exactly how it goes down. That day was kind of a blur.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that I can remember if I went into the hospital today, I would remember every single face that I saw in the hospital, like, workers that mm-hmm. day. And so I told her, so I listened to Rose break down on the phone at the Seminole State parking lot. And then after we were like prepared to leave the hospital and whoops, my alarm is going off. We didn't have Megan with us. She was at camp that day. So we had to go pick up Megan, sat her down, had to tell her. Haven't told the kids yet. Like, they're still staying with my mom.
Yeah.
Went to pick them up. And that, like, let me tell you, dude, you want to know something that's tough? It's having to tell your kids that their favorite person on the whole entire planet had passed away. Especially a 5-year-old that's not going to understand. And so, like, I see it as, like, a blessing a little bit that I was able to tell these people. But also, like, it haunts me sometimes, like, to this day. It's like, oh, man, like... It's just like that, like, and obviously, like, it's the devil, like, in the back of my mind trying to bring me down some days. It's just like, remember this day? Remember what you had to do?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, I do. And I'm grateful that I was able to live through every bit of it and come out on the other side with experiences like this and be able to help people. But, I mean, the day after, it was the day after, like, the days and the weeks and the months after... It took a lot of time for things to, I don't want to say get normal
because they never will.
Aren't normal and they're never going to be like how they ever were again. but it took a lot of time for us to even be able to function, really. Like, and if there's anything I can say to anyone that knows someone that goes through this loss, it's like, just show up for them, be there for them, because that was the best thing we had. We had 10 people every single day bringing us food, bringing us drinks, like bringing us just like prayers, like coming over just to spend time and be around just so we're not alone. And it was such a blessing because he passed in October, and I don't think we paid for a meal till March of this year. So for 5 months, people fed us.
That's incredible.
They loved us. They loved on us. And I wouldn't say that's when things started, because obviously things don't get normal, like Brady said. But that's when things got a little more manageable. Like, I didn't work from October. I didn't fire my pressure washing rig up from October to March a single time. Didn't work. And that's a blessing as well, because we decided to sell our house that Deanna and I had in DeBary. And so graciously, like, Tim and Robin allowed us to move in here. And they really made it so I didn't have to go work and support my family, but I could be here to take care of everything with my family, but also with their family. Because when a dad or a mom experiences something like that, there's so many things that, like, you can't do. Like,
yeah,
you can't pay attention to, you can't focus on. And so I don't want anybody to think I'm like trying to toot my own horn, but I felt a tremendous amount of like pressure and a tremendous weight on my shoulders to like be the strong one for a long time, like in the family. Do what Tim doesn't have the strength to do right now. Do what Robin doesn't have the strength to do right now. Bring Jackson where he needs to. Bring Megan where she needs to. Cook all the meals if I have to, which luckily we didn't have to, because everyone, like, we had a new meal every day. It was actually awesome that we were fed and just loved on and any of that. So that was really the first, like, I guess the first 4 or 5 months were kind of the same. Uh-huh. Like, it was just
Groundhog Day.
It was just like another day we're waking up and Josiah's not coming home. Like, yep. Another day we're waking up and he's not coming back from the weekend at Noah's Beach House. Like, so that's kind of how my experience of the first few days, weeks, months were.
Yeah, that's I mean, obviously you kind of got like a firsthand experience on that. Being as that you went to the hospital and stuff like that. Me and Noah, obviously, we're different. We weren't part of that group that went. I mean, if anything, retouching up on it for what I was doing that day. I mean, I literally went to Seminole State and I absolutely bombed a test. And I talked to Josiah the night beforehand. I was supposed to see him and he ended up flaking on me. And then he went and hanged out with Tanner and Brock. And I was like, all right, man, well, maybe I'll see you tomorrow. And he's like, all right. So driving home from that test, and I'm on I-4, and I'm headed back to my house, maybe 10 minutes away from my house, and I get a call from Tanner, and I'm like, all right, what does this kid want? And he, you know, I pick up the phone, and I hear sniffling, and I'm like, all right, what's going on here? And he's like, Josiah, man, it's not good. And I'm like, what? And he's like, it's not good, dude. Like, I don't think he's gonna be with us anymore. I'm like, shut up, man. So I hang up on him. And this kid's just messing with me, and then I called James, and James is one of my good buddies as well, and he's in Montana because he goes to school up there. And I call him, and he picks up the phone, and it's just like, it's not good. He can't maybe get 3 words out of his mouth. So now I know it's messed up. So then I call Tanner back. I'm like, where are you? And he's like, I'm at my dad's house in Apopka. So I turn around, I get off I-4, turn around, I go right back up there, and it's maybe a 15-minute drive. I turn my music off. I'm listening to just the road, and my tire's hitting the road, and I can't like think at all clearly. And like Ridges, I'm pushing the governor. I can't go any faster. And then I get to Tanner's house, and as soon as that door opens, Mr. Smith, his dad, told me, he's like, he's gone. And Tanner hugs me crying, and I don't do anything, man. I'm just staring. I'm like, I don't know how to react. Like, do I cry? Do I try to be strong? Like, what do I do? I've never experienced this before. Uh-huh. So I'm like, what am I supposed to do? And we went and sat at the lake. I think we, and then Noah came. And we sat there maybe for what, like 4 hours. And
yeah.
We didn't say a word.
I was coming back from school that day. Josiah was supposed to pick me up from the train station with Tanner. Mm-hmm. And like I called him like 4 times that morning. He didn't answer. And then I get picked up with Tanner. We're just like, oh, like Josiah's probably sleeping, like not knowing anything. And then we get a text from Fred, who's on the football team. And he's like, Josiah just got an accident, a dirt bike accident. You know, he's in critical condition. And me and Tanner are at my house. Like, I tell my mom this. And, like, I'm on the verge of, like, crying because he was in an accident. But, like, I try and hold myself up around people. Tanner leaves. I'm like, Mom, like, I'm going to, like, you know, get some things to go to Tanner's house. Take my mom's car. Like, I'm flying to Tanner's house. I get a call from my mom when I'm pulling in the driveway. You know, she's bawling. She's like, Josiah passed. I start breaking down. I hop out of the car. Mr. Smith gave me a hug. And then went and saw Brady and Tanner. And they both gave me a hug. And then we just sat in silence for, you know, maybe an hour. And then it was a miracle in disguise that every one of our friends was coming back from college at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Literally everyone. And so we all went to Tanner's and kind of just, you know, reminisce about the good memories, sat down by the lake and talked about it. I mean, you know, the death, it was awful, but everyone coming back at that time was kind of a blessing in disguise for everyone because it helped everyone just being around their friends, being able to talk about it, about all the memories. It was just so helpful.
Yeah, and looking back at that, I don't think there wasn't a bed that wasn't filled at the house. I mean, and there was 2 bunk bed sets, and then there was like random, like even like just pillows. Like Noah slept on a beanbag for 4 nights. I mean, and that just shows, like, that's one thing that, like, I'm grateful for and I pray for all the day, like, all the time, is that I was so fortunate to have those people in my life that, you know, they just came and, like, it wasn't, there was no questions asked. There was no, when do I need to be home or I need to go home? Like, it was just, they were just there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as I've said before, me and Noah, I didn't even talk to Noah. It was just another face in the hallway to someone that, like, is genuinely like a brother to me. It's, like, weird. Like, it's like I got, like, a blessing in disguise at the same time. Like, people I wasn't close with ever, I can call them, like, I know I can count on now. Beforehand, I don't even know if they'd even pick up. So yeah. I would say that's something that's really important for me, is that I felt like a lot of friends, not even friends, but more of like they turn into family. Yeah. And that, you know, with you, Ridge, his family, and Noah's family, like, you guys are just more additions without a lot, you know, the same last name. And that's something that I'm always grateful for.
And one thing I kind of want to ask you guys, what was like your last encounter with Josiah?
Mm-hmm.
And does it, because it's something that happens after loss, it's not that I regret anything, does like things like still haunt you? Because we're trying to be vulnerable with people that are listening so they can understand. And I'll lead off with it. Things like, so that same day, I had a pressure washing job 5 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
And Josiah got into his accident, I want to say roughly around 10 a.m. or 1 p.m.
Yeah.
And so at like 12 o'clock, I'm driving down Sandpiper. And I decided for some reason not to stop here. But it's like I have that in my head that's like,
what if I stopped?
If I stopped, would like I have talked to him for 10 minutes and then he not had had enough time to hop on his dirt bike before he went to school like he did every single day? And I mean, I don't dwell on that because I know that those like what ifs, there's nothing you can do about what ifs, and the devil just puts what ifs in your head just to get to you and try to make you fail. But to elaborate on the first or the last, like the last contact I had with him, he passed on a Wednesday. That Sunday before, we went to a Orlando City game together. Last City game of the season. First one he had gone to the whole season. And he was like, yeah, I'll go with you guys. Like, I guess. So me, him, Jackson, and Deanna went to the City game. Had a blast. And there's some stories that I'll tell off the podcast about that night. But We had a blast, and I remember we got into like an argument that same night of like, because he was like, there's no way I'm coming to pick you guys up. And I was like, please, like, it's like, you don't pay for your gas, dude. Just come pick us up so we don't have to pay for two parking. And he was like, how about this? I'll meet you at the Chick-fil-A on 436 and we can ride from there. And I was like, okay, like, we'll do that. Mm-hmm. And I think the day after that, we had a dinner with the whole family. Like, again, a blessing in disguise. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole family got together a day or two before he passed. And we all hung out. We all fellowshipped and all that. But, like, the one thing that always, like, sticks in my head is, like, why did the last time I say goodbye was just, like, dapping him up through the truck window? But it sticks with me for some reason, because it's like, I mean, it would be weird if like he would have got out of the truck and we like would have hugged, because we never did that.
No.
But it's just like, that's like one of those things that's like ingrained in my head, is like, man, the last time I saw this kid like in person was through a truck window and I said, see you later.
Yeah.
Knowing that how long it's going to be till I see him again.
Mm-hmm. My last encounter with Josiah, I think it was the weekend before he passed. It was either the weekend or that weekend prior, but he came down to my school, Palm Beach Atlantic. He came down, I think, on Thursday or Friday, because he wanted to come visit me. So we hung out down there. We went surfing. You know, we watched the sunset. I know it's kind of... But we watched the sunset on the beach, just listened to music, had a good time, drove around the town in his truck, and then we woke up sunrise on Sunday and surfed. And then he was packing up his stuff, gave him a hug before he left, and then you know, he left, and then he was supposed to pick me up on Tuesday, or Wednesday. Mm-hmm. But like a what-if moment is like, what if I came back a day before, because... Like, I was thinking about it. I could have come back the day before because I was missing class on Wednesday to come home anyway. So kind of just like, you know, what if I came back that Tuesday? What if he picked me up? What if we hung out that next day or that night he slept over and we went fishing or something like that? So that's kind of just the what ifs that were going through my head after he passed. And, you know, it'll live with me, you know, forever. So.
Yeah. I would say the last time I physically saw him was me and him worked some really dumb event, because obviously me and him did event coordination and like
anything with Joe Hearn is dumb.
Yeah, I think we've summed that up so far, but
not a sponsor.
No, we went to this place called the Deltona Center, and jeez,
sorry, I choked on my water.
And I didn't. This is like when I got like kind of like not only a promotion, but more of like a more sophisticated job where I was still getting paid the same, because that's how that awesome job worked, is like did more stuff and got paid the exact same. But I started wearing nicer clothes and I ended up showing up in a suit, and Josiah's like, bruh, I literally brought shorts and a t-shirt. And I'm like, is that what he told you to wear? And he's like, yeah, but I'm not wearing that. So he calls his mom's like, mom, I'm going to spend some money on your card. Okay, bye. And then he went to Kohl's and he bought, I'll never forget it. He went ahead and bought a whole new pair of everything. He bought underwear, shoes, socks, shorts, or pants, and a long sleeve black shirt. Yep. And he showed back up and was like, how do I look? And it's just funny because you know how the shirts come, they're still, you know, all folded. And, you know, he puts a shirt on, you still see all the fold lines in his shirt. I'm like, do you look like an idiot? Because it's just like his arms look like blocks. I'm like, oh my God. But we worked a few hours that evening, and then we were supposed to hang out afterwards, but in fashionable form, he said he had to go have dinner at 10 o'clock at night, per usual. And then I didn't see him after that, and then I called him the night beforehand, and I was coming home from work, and he didn't work that day because he had the orthodontist appointment, and I call him, and he's like, man, I'm so tired, I don't want to do anything. And then he ends up going out with Tanner and Brock, and I called him back. I was like, you little, like, you went out with them, you could have invited me. He's like, I'm sorry, like, I'll see you tomorrow, Holmes will be home. And I'm like, all right, well, hopefully I'll see you tomorrow. And he's like, yeah, man, I'll see you then. So if anything, I look back at it as like, I wish that I wish that I took it. I was supposed to take a test at 11. I was supposed to be, I think, 10:15. I was supposed to take the test, and I woke up at like 10 o'clock. And I was like, I gotta push it back. I pushed it back till 12:45. And looking, and I was supposed to go to his house afterwards. And looking back, I really wish that I took that test at 10:15 and came here at 12 o'clock afterwards. But I never did.
Yeah.
And I was going home instead because I thought he was gonna go get Noah, and then we were supposed to hang out afterwards. Yeah. But I really, really wish that like I took that test then. But obviously, things happen for a reason, and I obviously took that test at 12:45 for a reason, yeah. Which I still failed. I got a, like a 43%, but
it's all right. Yeah, and for some reason, I apologize that I was about to cry. When that's absolutely not a problem, because my counselor actually reminded me of something a few months ago, and it's stuck with me since then, and it'll be good for a lot of people to hear. And it was that the shortest verse in the Bible. You guys know what it is?
Jesus wept.
Jesus wept. My counselor said, and this is obviously not the true meaning of that, but he was like, that's the shortest verse in the Bible, so men can remember it. And know it's okay to have feelings and emotions.
Yeah.
So, what else do we have, Brady?
Obviously, we have touched up on, you know, how we coped originally with, you know, quality time with people we knew and being surrounded with people who knew of Josiah. Obviously, that was, you know, what was important for all of us. Anything is being able to share that, you know, through everyone. And then, obviously, one thing big for me, and obviously, I don't know if you guys can obviously agree or not, to this, but I would say was a lot of things I would stress about, things I couldn't handle, like, you know, trying to like help other people, like, okay, they're having a bad day, let me fix it. Like, after a while, I finally just like, okay, I need to start focusing on things that I can't handle, like, yeah. How can I have a good day and stuff like that.
And yeah, that was big for me too.
Yeah,
it was like,
make sure everyone else is okay.
Yeah, and that's like a coping mechanism. It's like, let me not focus on myself and my mental health and my emotions.
Yep.
And make sure everyone else around me is okay. Because, I mean, for me, I had my wife, who was not only Josiah's brother, but can almost be looked at like a second mom or sister. But can almost be looked at, looked at like a second mom, because the age gap was 12 years between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I had her. I had his two nephews that literally thought the world of him and everything about him. And so it's really hard to understand how to cope with those losses. And I mean, everyone, yep. We all have those really bad days. And if you do want to hear a really solid answer, because I did ask that question, when Noah and I were at the Turning Point USA conference, I got to talk to Cliff and Stuart Connectly.
And Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, and Charlie Kirk. And asked the question of really, like, the gist of the question was how to cope with those really bad days when you might lose your anger. They gave a solid answer, and we can link that in the description of this podcast. Yeah. So,
yeah, it was a very, very good answer.
Yeah, and honestly, I agree with what you're saying. It's all—it's like kind of like a Papa Bear instinct where it's like, okay, well, I'll make sure I do it with everyone else before it myself, because obviously I will be the last one to weep. But I was moving on, you know, how we live life through them now. Like, you know, we do things like, okay, well, I know that Josiah, or even in my instance as well, Josephine, would obviously, they wouldn't want me to like back down from this. Like, don't view, like, you know, mistakes as a bad thing, but view it as the best teacher. And that's something I learned from Josiah, is that, you know, you're going to do things that you're going to fail at, and that's perfectly okay. Like, you don't, no one masters everything at first. Like, you know, the
except
best.
Except Josiah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But obviously, like, you know, great examples, like Tiger Woods was not always, you know, the best golfer ever. He started somewhere too. Everyone started somewhere. Gordon Ramsay started somewhere. Tom Brady started somewhere. Everyone started somewhere. And, you know, it's not where you start, but it's where you're more like you finish. And that's one thing that Josiah kind of taught me, is that, you know, like, it's okay. Like, if you're going to, like, if you want to go surf, like, let's go surf. But, you know, you don't have to get up. Like, you can go this whole time without getting up. That doesn't mean you should stop going. And I was like, I get really frustrated with a lot of things. Like, if I can't get it right the first time, I'm not doing it ever again. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be look like the guy, like, oh, look at that guy. He can't even do it. I want to make sure, like, I want to go there. I want to master it. I want to be like, dang, that guy really knows what he's doing. That's what I want to be. And after a while, I'm like, you can't live up to that. No one can ever live up to that. besides Josiah, who would show up to tennis tryouts and Sperry's and still make the team.
Yeah, and he taught me like how I live my life when he was still with us, and now obviously is live life like to the absolute fullest. Yeah. Like don't back down, try not to say no as much as possible.
Even if you suck at it, just try.
When he was around, he taught me how to be the second best at a lot of things. Like always, like whatever we do, like we go to the shooting range, I'd be like, oh man, like I did really good. And then you see Josiah's grouping is like 3 inches dead center of it. Mm-hmm. He's like, it's the first time I shot this gun.
And then obviously going to one of our last topics as coping, but if not really coping in a more broad term, more of like bad coping. And I would say personally for myself, bad coping for me is I pushed a lot of people family wise that didn't notice it out completely. I definitely pushed my parents out. As I saw, I was like, you won't understand because you were never there, or you don't know him like I know him. Even my sister, especially, like, she didn't know him like I know him. So it's like, why are you so like invested now when you weren't before? And I over a while, I was like, it was a lot of selfishness where it's like, okay, well, I know him, you don't. Like, stop like being so, you know, unfortunate, or like, you know, not unfortunate, but like, stop crying to a point where it's like, you don't, like, he wasn't as close to you as he was with me. And it's selfishness. And I will like admit, like, I took that out on a lot of people. Yeah. Where it was like, you don't get it because you weren't firsthand. You didn't talk to him the night beforehand. Like, all, like, everything you could think of, I said. Yeah. And, you know, looking back at it, it's not that I regret it. It's more of just like, I wish that I knew better enough to know that everyone feels differently.
Yeah. Even if they don't know him. They were hurting for you. And they might not have known him as well, but they know you. And they were mourning for you. Not only for Josiah, like the loss of Josiah, because they obviously knew of him, but they were mourning for your loss of Josiah.
And unfortunately, I never saw that till recently. I was like, why are you crying? You never knew him. But it's more like, you're crying for me because of the way I feel. And I didn't know that for so long. Exactly. I just looked at it as like, oh, you didn't know that. Like, like all this stuff, like X, Y, and Z. And just that's how I was feeling. And I wish for anyone that, you know, the best example is that everyone's going to cope differently and everyone's going to be there in different ways for you. But obviously, like Rich said, just be there for someone when they go through that. Because the worst thing you can do is say nothing. Yeah. Being quiet is the worst option. Even when you feel like you don't have anything to say or don't know what to say, say something.
Yeah.
It can make a world of difference for anybody. It can, if anything, and put in a bad way, it can stop someone from, you know, like ending it all. Like literally, like they feel like they're so alone. It's like the one person that was really there for me is now gone and no one else is here for me anymore.
Yeah.
And it feels like you're kind of just alone. Reach out to someone, you know, just say something. It doesn't hurt. And even if you feel like it's stupid or you sound, say something really stupid, it still means something to someone that you reached out and that you took the time out of your day to approach someone about something that they're going through personally that has no effect on you at all.
Yeah.
But for them, it means the world. And that was a lot for me. My family reached out that had no idea who Josiah was, but they reached out to me and told me things like in fruitful form of like, you know, his journey doesn't end here. And those things, like, I will always be, like, thankful my family with is that they, you know, went out of their time to talk to me about something that they, it didn't affect them at all. They don't even live here. And, like, it just didn't bother them, but it bothered them that I was hurting.
Yeah.
And they made it comfortable for me to stop hurting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I would say my biggest coping mechanism through the whole loss of Josiah, I mean, obviously, it wasn't a coping mechanism before, but I smoked copious amounts of weed. Like, copious amount. Like, it was wild. And when Josiah passed, it was like, oh, like, I don't really drink that much. Like, I'll have, like, I'm more of, like, a social drinker. Like, if I'm out at a birthday, like, I'll have a beer with someone. Or if we're having a get-together at the house or a barbecue, like, I'll have a couple beers. But yeah. I don't really drink that much. Mm-hmm. So, which I'm grateful for, that I don't have that like spirit of addiction over alcoholism like my people further along the line of my family tree have had. But yeah, like weed was that crutch for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say that I don't smoke weed ever like anymore, but to go from like smoking grams and grams and grams a day to maybe taking a hit or two once every few months just because I'm out on vacation or I'm just chilling or I'm fishing or something. Like, it's not, it, that was my coping mechanism. That was my crutch. And it was definitely not the best thing for me because it just numbs your mind and messes with you to a certain extent that you don't really even want to, like, you don't want to deal with what's in front of you. And mm-hmm. that's where it would hurt me in the end, is I didn't want to deal with what I had to deal with.
Yeah. It's just like an escape.
Yeah. Kind of my case is the same, you know, Brady's case. Like, I pushed the people that meant the most to me, like my mom, my dad. You know, I remember I was going back to school and I was at school, and like, I was just doing awful in school, you know, like failing everything. And, you know, my parents asked why. And I was like, go through what I went through at 18 and see if you want to try. You know, losing a best friend, losing a grandfather, like, you know, see if you want to try. You know, I just constantly keep getting in arguments with them and arguments, you know, because I felt they didn't understand how I feel, like how I felt in that situation, in that scenario.
Yeah.
But, you know, just over time, kind of just talking to them, seeing a counselor, you know, it helped. I'm not going to say it got me back on track because it didn't. But, you know, it helped tremendously into shaping the person that I am today.
Yeah, so it kind of seems like your coping mechanism was like a little bit like
space.
Well, space, but also like anger outburst.
Yeah.
Which, and I actually had to apologize. The same thing was for me too. Like, I had to apologize to my mom. I obviously didn't have to, but that comes with honoring your father and your mother. She was the easiest person for me to let my anger out on, which I hate that I did. But, and she understood that. Like, thankfully, she understood that I needed a release and I didn't need to let that anger out on the kids or Deanna or anybody in this house because what they were going through. So sometimes she would just let me, she would let me be a total douche to her, like, after the loss. And it wasn't the right thing, but it's a blessing that she would understand what I was going through and allow that. But I'm glad that I don't really have those anger outbursts anymore, except occasionally when my kids are being absolutely ridiculous.
Being naughty.
So daily.
Not daily. That's you.
Ha. Anyways, yeah, I can definitely 100% relate to Noah. I failed all of my college classes that year.
Yes.
That semester. I didn't pass a single one.
I didn't fail any of my college classes.
Yeah, I wonder why.
But I would say, if anything to take away from all of this is, you know, as I said before, just, you know, reach out to someone, say something. We obviously have had a very deep conversation about all of this in general. And, you know, obviously it's going to get brought up a lot during, you know, through our seasons and, you know, through our episodes. But we obviously hope that if anything, you can gain something from this, that, you know, you're never alone in these kind of moments and that you should never feel that way. Because it's really easy to feel that way.
Yeah. Let's talk about real quick how faith has helped us cope with it.
I was just about to say that.
Well, you didn't say it fast enough.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, though. You can take it away.
Yeah. So, you know, before Josiah passing, my faith, you know, wasn't really that strong. But I would constantly ask God questions why, because I was angry. I didn't know why this happened to that person. I didn't know why this happened to that family. And, you know, after Josiah passed, kind of my faith, I've really destined for my faith to get stronger. Started going to church with Ridge and Deanna and Brady every Sunday. Started reading the Bible. And, you know, the Hudspeth family and how their faith was so strong in dealing with loss, kind of they have helped me through my journey of what I want my life to look like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree. That's how I felt. Seeing Miss Robin, you know, I've never seen someone be so selfless when mm-hmm. it came to Josiah's passing. Is that she wasn't even praying for Josiah or her family. She was praying for Jerusalem. And it's like, that's how I want my faith to be. I want it to be so strong that I'm praying for others in times where I should be selfish mm-hmm. and that I, you know, that the world should be falling for me.
Yeah.
But instead, I'm, you know, I'm sitting here kneeling before the Lord for other people. And that's how, you know, through my, you know, journey with Christ, that's what I want my, like, that's what I want my faith to look like, is to look like something like that, where these moments where, you know, the world is against you and that everything is against you, where you feel like, you know, you can't do anything right, that you can still, you know, look at other sides. Like, I may have it bad, but people around me have it worse.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
There will always be someone that's worse than me. So that's definitely something I want my faith to be like. And then obviously it took me a while after Josiah passed for me to come back into faith. Cause I was so upset. I was like, you know, why him? Like, out of, like, you know, everyone I know, and that, like, you know, someone that I look up to as Josiah, because that was one of my, like, biggest role models. Like, you know, why someone that I just started really getting to know on a deeper level? I wasn't done knowing him yet, but I know that that was as much as I was supposed to know. So,
yeah. Dude, I will gas Tim and Robin up as much as I possibly can on this subject, because I've seen a lot of people struggle. I've seen a lot of people go through loss. I have never seen two people handle it like they do. Like, it is a true inspiration to what anyone should want to model their life like, especially after a loss. Like, to stay that faithful to, and I know we've talked about this many times, but I will say it every freaking episode if we have to, because it's such an amazing, like, testament to their faith that they just stayed strong in it. Like, and they just leaned on Jesus and clung to Jesus the whole time. And my, and Deanna as well. I mean, it's just been like, it's been amazing and a pleasure and an honor to watch and be mentored by the two of them in this area.
Yeah.
You know, it's a blessing in disguise for me and Brady that, you know, we're around you guys every day, because that's what we want our life to be like, you know.
It's not in disguise. It's just a blessing.
Yeah, through our journeys of faith, you know, we may have lost some friends that we're not so close to anymore, but I don't want to be a follower anymore. Like, a follower of worldly things. I want to be a follower of God.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like, there's obviously going to be a temptation of, like, oh, that's super cool if I did that. Like, I get some likes or I get some clicks on it. Or, like, if I did this, like, I'd be considered the cool guy. But there's no label like that when you're with God, and no one ever looks back at that as, like, oh yeah, I remember when you did that, or oh dude, I remember you for this. It's gonna be like, I remember when you were there for your friend when no one was there for him. I remember that you took time out of your day to talk to someone who didn't talk to anybody. Or I remember when you went, like in my instance, to go sit with someone who was new to the school. That's how I was. And that was that person, like, that was Josiah for me. Someone who came with me, someone who came to me when I was a complete stranger and sat with me. So
yeah, I mean, it's, shoot, I don't want this episode to end. Me neither. Be honest, can you guys think of anything else to talk about?
Well, we have so many episodes where we can latch on part twos.
Yeah, even, so. There definitely can be a part two to this. 100%. Let's promote our episode that will be coming out in about 4 weeks, and it will be recorded live in La Fortuna at El Castillo in Costa Rica. That one will be put on YouTube. We will have video, and it will be broadcast from the balcony of a beautiful, like, basically mansion that we're going to celebrate Josiah's, like, 1 year being in heaven. And we're going to have all of, like, our closest people and the family and friends. And I'm sure we will have there's 15 of us, and the three of us will be on the podcast. I'm sure we will have a live audience of 12.
Yeah.
So it's, that's going to be a big show. There's going to be a lot to get on with it. Also, coming up, I believe it's going to be our next episode. We are going to have a awesome follower of Christ, a recovering addict, and somebody that has just absolutely turned their life around and is living for the Lord. It's my friend, or all of our friends from church, Corey. I'm not going to botch your last name right now. I'm going to wait till you can tell me it. But as well as being a follower of Christ, he is a follower of
Go Tigers!
LSU.
Noah's also a Georgia fan, so I don't know why he's saying that, but...
Because he gaslights me. He gasses me up, bro.
Yeah, you need it, because they're terrible.
Don't hate on it.
Top 25, who? Top 25, who?
They're 16, so... But, yeah, so that's what we kind of have looking forward to for some of our episodes. I don't know if you guys want to talk about anything about future episodes or... I'm just trying to keep this one going because I'm having such a good time on this podcast.
I would say that the one in 4 weeks is going to be a very big one. I would 100%.
Don't miss out.
Yeah. We're gonna try and record it on Josiah's 1 year. We will have been water rappelling all day and riding ATVs. So we're gonna have a lot of stories to tell. If we don't record it on the day of, then we'll record it on the last day.
Nah, the day of, bro.
Well, the reason I say the last day is so we can... Because we're going to Costa Rica because it was Josiah's favorite.
I say we do it on the last
day. We'll figure the logistics out as we get closer. But we're going there because it was Josiah's favorite vacation spot.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing all of his favorite things. So it might be more... We'll figure out if it... We'll get a consensus from our group of friends if it'll be more honoring to... Do it towards the end or do it on the day of and talk about all of his favorite things that we're going to be doing in Costa Rica and those experiences and what it's like.
Yeah, absolutely. But obviously we are at the end of our segment.
First of the day.
You're over here not liking that.
Yeah, I'm not liking it, but it's okay. Close us out how we always do with our verse of the day. He closed his computer.
The verse of the day... is, hold up, let me pull it up.
It's Isaiah 57.
It's Isaiah 57, 1 through 2.
It's 1 through 2.
1 through 2.
He just has it
as 1 2. Yeah. Good people pass away. The godly often die before their time, but no one seems to care or wonder why. No one seems to understand that God is protecting them from the evil to come. For those who follow godly paths will rest in peace when they die.
All right, well, I think that's our wrap for episode 6.
Yep.
So here is my peace out to all y'all. Noah.
Peace.
Bye. Come here, turkey.
All right, stop. See you guys later.
Back to riding my Rocket 69.
Rocket 69, Rocket 69.
Well, would you like to ride in my Rocket 69?
Rocket 69, Rocket 69.